Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to Aces Up the Sleeve. I'm Patty, co-hosting with the co-managing partner of Pocket Aces Racing, or PAR for the quick reference, Jared Shoemaker. And in this podcast, and on this episode, we're going to shed light on all things Pocket Aces. We're going to talk about the finer points of syndicate ownership. We're going to discuss what our fans, our listeners, our partners have asked us to talk about. And we're going to touch base on some news outside of the syndicate, as we are participants of the horse racing industry. But before we get to that, Jared, good morning. How are you? How is everything on this eve before our open house?
It is. It's quite nice. You know, it's a little rainy here this Wednesday morning, but that's okay. I'm going to head out to Keeneland here after a while for a little bit, and you know, we're just like you mentioned, it's open house week. We're going to do that on Saturday. I will be honest; I've been a little distracted from horse racing stuff over the last few days, as Coach Cal has unexpectedly shipped off to Arkansas, and
I saw that news as well this morning.
Now we're in the midst of a coaching search, and well, you know, just lots of opinions out there on who the next coach should be, and I'm not agreeing with many of them, quite frankly. I don't understand what we're doing, but hey, you know what, that's all right. We'll figure it out. I have absolutely nothing to do with it, of course, but the athletic department will figure it out, and we'll have some new coach, and hope John Calipari does you know, pretty good things there at Arkansas. I was certainly think it was time for a change at the UK head coaching level with basketball. But I did feel like that he was a pretty great person in terms of all of the wonderful charity work he did. And anytime mm-hmm. there's any kind of disaster in Kentucky or even elsewhere, you know, he mobilized his people and the team and the state of Kentucky to be kind to one another and show up for the people that were in need and try to look out for their fellow Kentuckians. So I think he'll be hard to beat in that way. So we'll see what happens. The front runner seems to be Scott Drew from Baylor, and that's about as milquetoast a hire as I can come up with. I mean, he's just blah. And you know, and he performs in the NCAA tournament for the same reasons everybody wanted to get rid of Cal. You know, he's out the first weekend more often than not. And why he's going to end up being our head coach is just staggering to me. But that's okay. Stop horse racing.
Well, I was going to say, I was like, I read somewhere that Calipari had gone to Keeneland or something, and they like booed him out. Like, it was a little crazy for a little bit. So
I missed that, but that's unfortunate if it's the case.
Yeah, I mean, again, and you know, that's according to. To I think like one or two people who had tweeted or something about it. I don't quite remember where I saw it, but I remember just being disappointed. I'm like, look, you can disagree with how we handle things, but at the end of the day, like, as much as we enjoy our sports, like, it's not going to impact any of us really personally to that extent. It doesn't impact just the extent to justify that kind of behavior out in public. Like, it's going to be a hard thing for everybody, and I think that's a little unfair to start heckling him out in public now. Like, I get you can be disappointed, but let's not be children, you know?
I cannot argue with that in any way, shape, or form.
So, but yeah, let's roll into our in-house updates. Obviously, we have open house this Saturday. So do you have any sudden shocking availability changes or anything crazy that you want to kind of talk about for open house before we go into maybe some entries that we are looking forward to?
Well, I will just say this, you know, if for those of you that are listening that are planning to go to the open house, mm-hmm. This is going to be probably the biggest crowd that we've ever had, assuming everybody shows up at RSVPs. Mm-hmm. So please, keep that in mind as you're coming onto the grounds. Wouldn't hurt to be there a little bit early, probably. Mm-hmm. We have parked in the past up near that house that served as an office. And walk down. That house is being torn down. I don't believe that parking area will be available. They're just kind of asking everybody to park along the little parking pad that's by the track, and you know, get in, you know, get on the grass and come up by the barns, the main barn there by the viewing stand, and just kind of, you know, be very careful as you come in, and you know, find your space best you can. And then, and please, one other note, don't give yourself any self-guided tours when you're wandering around out there. You know, just come onto the grounds, go down to the end of the little road there, and take a left at the track, and you'll get to where you're going. But we don't want to be wandering around at the other barns. I think we had that happen. We've had that happen a time or two at both at Margo and at Silver Springs. So just come to where we're supposed to be. All the horses are going to be in the main barn there by the track and the viewing stand. And the viewing stand is now being used as their office, but that's where we're going to set up. Food and everything is in just on the outside porch there. And you know, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a little cool in the morning, but should warm up. The sun's supposed to be shining, and just really looking forward to getting out there. I haven't been out there all winter to see him because I'm a pansy and I don't like to get out in cold. And so I haven't seen the horses out there in several months myself. So I'm looking forward to getting out there and see how they've grown up. And I know Mark was out there yesterday, and was just and you were out there
Yeah,
yesterday,
I was.
and Mark was just thrilled with how everybody's looking. So.
Yeah, we had a good chat about it, and we had a partner in from out of town that had come up from Florida, and we had a great conversation with him, and he mentioned that he had listened on a couple to a couple of our to a couple of our podcast episodes.
It's Andy, and yeah, Andy's up from Florida. Drove up on Monday. He's came up for the open house, and he decided to make the whole week of it. And so I know he's headed out to the track today, and he's going to go up to Turfway tomorrow and see some other horses. So you know, if you're involved with us, and for any of you non-members that are listening, you know, this is kind of what this is what we encourage. We love for our part. And if you're a partner that just hasn't been here yet, or maybe you're
Yes,
new and you're
please come
listening,
out.
you know, we encourage you to come out and develop that connection with your horses. It's one of the reasons that we do this. So don't be shy about it. You want to come for a visit, hop on the phone, give me a call, shoot me a text, email, whatever, and we'll get you set up for a visit, whether it's at the track, a training center, you know, a different track, wherever the horses are, you let us know and come see us. So.
Absolutely. And like we have some very interesting partners. Like we had an awesome conversation with Andy about like his because he used to race the Greyhounds, and we had an amazing like I've learned so much. I learned so much it just talking to him about like a racing sport that I knew existed, like, and it's gotten very, very, very small now that I think that just runs in West Virginia at this point. But I learned so much talking to him, and like he has so much passion, and he has so many like really, really good questions where we had to sit and really, really think about like how we were going to answer and how we were going to structure everything. So it's always amazing how many things you learn when you talk to your fellow Pocket Aces Racing members and your peers and your partners. And when we talk to you guys, we learn so much. I learn something new every time I talk to any one of you. So we always love seeing our partners out there. It's a lot of fun.
And just one last thing about the open house. If you can't make it this weekend, please do not forget that it's available. We're going to live stream it on our Facebook page. And for those of you that are on our Stable Connect app as partners, you'll be able to watch it there. And I know Patty will be sending out reminders. And I think she sent one out the other day that went to everybody, which was kind of cool. I didn't know we had that feature on there. So yeah, just hope as many people are able to join us as possible.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good day. So, do we have then any entries or any exciting summer plans that we've been thinking about for the stable since we're kind of on the topic of in-house updates still?
Well, we've got Double Neat running at Gulfstream this weekend. Full race. Yeah, it looks like he fits. It's maybe a little stronger than what we'd hoped to see with Keeneland getting started and so many folks moving horses up to you know, up to Keeneland, up to Kentucky, up to New York at this time of year. But still, I think he fits. He's drawn the inside post. And it's an overflow field, so that's going to be something he has to maneuver. But hopefully he'll relax. Got Chris Landeros on him. Hopefully he'll just be able to settle back mid to the back of the pack and get a good trip coming home. So looking forward to that. My goodness, we got some other entries. I think we got somebody entering today. I have to think.
That's what happens when you have so many. We have so many runners. We're usually we kind of had like a handful, controllable handful, and now the it's controlled madness all the time now.
Yeah, it's I used to know. I mean, I used to be able to ask me, any horse, a month out, what race are you looking at? And I would know exactly right then and right there. And now we've gotten enough that I'm just having a hard time keeping track of them. So we enter tomorrow. We enter Mama Lou for her long anticipated return. She was a winner last out. And then she had her little eye infection episode, which cost her quite a bit of time. But she's been training great. Enter her for Thursday for next Wednesday. Got a little bit of availability in her. If anybody's interested in some immediate action, she's been, like I said, she's been training lights out. They've been having a hard time pulling her up, and she's just really finishing up strong, which is and we the last time we ran her, it was the first time we stretched her out, and it really seemed to do the trick. So we're doing that again. Going to run her a mile. We've got Oscar season not getting entered, obviously, but he is back at the he's back into full training. He's at the Thoroughbred Center, looking really, really good, going strong. Accusatory has gone to Brennan's barn up at Turfway Park. And then King of the Party has moved up to Ethan West's barn at Turfway Park. Looking at the races, probably at the end of the month for Oathbreaker, we're kind of back and forth on where we're going to run him, what we're going to run him in. We just know that we're definitely going to stretch him out. Lady Aberdeen later this month at Keeneland is looking like a strong possibility. Microphone, probably going to be late April at the earliest, maybe into May. He's going to be headed up to Monmouth Park to spend the summer, spring, summer, and fall in the Mid-Atlantic, where we'll have lots of turf races to choose from for him.
That's exciting. I don't think we have we had horses at Monmouth before?
Social engagement was at Monmouth for a little bit last year, and with Kent, and but I just think it's a good. He's a horse. He has to be on the turf. Dirt is not going to work for him in any situation. And up there's just a ton of turf tracks to choose from, and they ripe them at all different levels. Taken to the cleaners, we're looking. Obviously, she's another turf horse, but she can run on the dirt in a pinch if she has to, especially if it's an off track. And so she's going to be going to an allowance optional at Churchill Downs in May. Temple City Magic probably going to debut sometime later in May. We're still waiting to see what's going on with the chemical reaction. She was a little gimpy, a little ouchy coming out of that last out of her debut for a couple of days. Susan's doing a whole lot better now, but not 100% locked in on when we're going to get her back to the track. And carousing will be let's see, oh, we enter carousing today. In a Indiana bred maiden special weight for a race next Tuesday. So that's what's going on around the stable. Starting to pick things up, and Irish Aces May Thurby. We're still looking at May 2nd or Thurby for her. It Factor May 20 or April 25th, Belterra Park. So that's all of those guys. Homer Mangel and Spellbook, they're in foal, doing great. Babies are doing great. And that's about it.
So that's our excitement for the in-house. It's good to know though that like you don't want to jinx it, but like it's just nice sometimes when everybody's just it you know they're if they are hurt, it doesn't seem to be something super serious. And if they're not and they're just ticking along and they feel great, like sometimes that's just a win and that's all you really want sometimes. Just have them be
That's right.
happy.
And we've had a lot of horses that are, they're young horses that are getting close to making debuts, or they just made debuts right at the tail end of the Turfway meet. So, and it's typical that we give them a little more time, after their first start than we might after their third, second, third, fourth start. They go through a lot after that first race, and we want to make sure that they got plenty of time to come out of it. So, and we just got other horses who are coming back off of the layoffs, and excuse me, and just think that It's going to be a good opportunity to. We're going to have a lot of races, a lot of horses running here coming up soon.
Yep. It's a lot to look forward to. So we haven't done our Triple Crown Kentucky Derby update in a little bit. I think because last week was the detailed open house episode. So we figured this time we're gonna do it justice, and we're going to do just a very massive kind of Triple Crown Kentucky Derby update because we are coming up on the first Saturday in May. We've got about probably two, maybe potentially three more episodes with this kind of segment in here. So we're almost there. It's almost Derby Day. So the Derby standings have kind of gone a little crazy from the last time that we did it, and we kind of promised you they would. But I think most kind of the horse on the performances on everyone's mind are Sierra Leone when he ended up winning the Bluegrass Stakes last Saturday. And Fierceness, when he, I get the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Champion, who kind of didn't have the greatest start to the year, and he woke up in the Florida Derby and just ran off with it. And I think those are two of the, I think the performances that a lot of people are going to have first and foremost in mind as we kind of get March closer to that first Saturday in May.
Sierra Leone, I think opened up a lot of eyes. Not that he hadn't been a decent horse before that, but I think it was a really impressive, nice win in the Bluegrass. It vaulted him to the top of the point standings at 155, and Fierceness is second at 136. So, it's he took a big step, and it's been a long time since the Bluegrass produced a serious contender for the Derby, and even longer time since they produced a winner for the Derby. So a lot of folks are thinking this might be the year that that Bluegrass Derby jinx gets lifted. We'll see. Fierceness is a horse a lot of people have been talking about for a long time, and certainly looked impressive. It's going to be. Yeah, we'll just continue going through the top 10 this year. You got Catching Freedom in the third spot, along with Stronghold. They're tied at 125 each. So you got Catching Freedom, the winner of Smarty Jones and the Louisiana Derby. Stronghold, the winner of the Sunland Derby, and then got the Santa Anita Derby points. Resilience is in at fifth. Has not actually won one of the Triple Crown races yet, but he's hitting the board and gaining points. Forever Young, the Japanese horse who won the UAE Derby, endlessly sitting there at 100 points. And well, it's we
I
gave
think,
the
not to
connections.
interrupt you, but
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that's a typo because he is the Wood Memorial winner. So,
Oh, Resilience is?
Resilience, yes.
Oh, okay, my
So
bad.
that might be a typo. So yeah,
Okay.
but he won the Wood
Okay.
Memorial. So that's kind of how
Like I
he.
said, I've been kind of out of it with racing for the last little bit.
Yeah, no worries.
And then endlessly, we gave them mad props, the ownership mad props, I think, for deciding to forego the Derby and keep the horse on the grass. And lo and behold, they're thinking maybe we'll just run the Derby after all.
I mean, it is. I mean, it. We. I think the trainer is like, I wanna. We'll keep everything open. We'll see kind of where we land here, and who knows? Like crazy stuff happens all the time. Like we're kind of in woe bemoaning stage, but like stuff happens all the time. People kind of have a come to Jesus moment if they're gonna have one, all the time for these things. So I'm still at the end of the day, I'm holding out hope that no matter what ends up being in the horse's best interest, that that's what's going to happen. That, the connections are going to do what ends up being best for their horse. So,
Hope so. Fingers
yeah.
crossed. And then Dornick after that, Just a Touch and Track Phantom. And then the next 10 on the list. Come on. It's not Lulu.
It seems the Twin Spires page is struggling along with the rest of us because it is hump day Wednesday, so
Well, this is not doing anything. Well, that's our top 10 on the list. And
yeah,
we've also
so
got a couple of Japanese horses that I guess are going to make it.
yes, they are.
T.O. Password and Ramjet. And
Is for and Forever Young.
then Forever Young, but Forever Young really is getting in on the basis of
The UAE Derby.
the UAE Derby as opposed
Yes.
to points won in Japan.
Yeah, T.O. Password, with the points he had accumulated in the Japanese Kentucky Derby point races. They were extended an invitation, and they informed the Churchill Downs folks that they would be coming, that they would be accepting the invitation. So, you know, he's not TO and TO password from right here. Again, I think this the point the page we're kind of seeing right now might still be a little outdated at the moment. But from what I'm seeing, TO password should be in like the bottom 20. But we also have the Lexington that's coming up. And like Hades is gonna kind of try and sneak in because, you know, obviously that only leaves 18 spots for the US campaigned horses. So, you know, Hades was kind of on the bubble as well. He's the Florida bred that we had talked about before. He put up actually a really, really good a really strong effort in I think it's the Holy Bull.
Holy
Yep.
boy, yep.
Yeah, and he made kind of a name for himself there, and the connections kind of confirmed last week. They're like, you know, we will send him to the Lexington. It's only, you know, he has to win it at this point to kind of really solidify his way in, because I think it's like a 20-point to the winner last second kind of race for that. And they said that as long as he, you know, if he wins the Lexington, he comes out of it well, they're going straight to the Derby. So, you know, so the Lexington, I think, is going to be the last real shakeup outside of the defections that we have every year in the weeks kind of leading up to it. The Lexington is going to be the last real kind of like point-wise board shakeup that we're probably going to have before this Derby goes.
Yeah, it's definitely the Lexington is always the last one. And it used to be held just 2 weeks before the Derby. And the Bluegrass was 3 weeks. So they changed the schedule at Keeneland to make it a little more friendly. But yeah, it's a mile and a 16th race. It's this Saturday, 20 points to the winner. So it's basically the last shot. Last shot for somebody to get in if they're sitting on the bubble. So I've always loved the Lexington Stakes. I don't know why. It's just always been one that I've always enjoyed. So yeah, we'll see how that shakes out this weekend and see what that leaderboard looks like this time next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, and it's, I think I only watched like in person for various reasons. I think I only watched one running of the Lexington, but I think the horse who won it was like a Stone Street horse, who then later on and put in either a big performance in the Preakness. He put in a really good performance in one of the 3-year-old kind of big races that people want to win. I don't quite remember off the top, because I think it was like in 2017 or 2018 or something. But yeah, the Lexington always ends up being just one of those really exciting races for me. I agree with you. Like it's aside from its standing as like the last gasp Kentucky Derby point chance for a lot of horses, it just seems to bring in just horses that, you know, the connections kind of assume, well, if we win and we win it, great. You know, we got some notoriety, we picked up some points, we picked up some money, and then later on, you know, we'll see if he can continue on and maybe do something else like the Haskell or the what's the it's the Travers is for 3-year-olds.
Travers, yeah.
Yeah, because I kept thinking of the Woodward, and I'm like, oh, that's for older horses, isn't it? So that always
Yeah,
ends up.
it's the Haskell and Travers, the big ones.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, but I will, and I'll definitely be interested to see kind of how the Derby winner will, because a lot of talk, kind of going back to Sierra Leone, a lot of talk was made about how Sierra Leone is bred to run for a long time. And you know, because he's a gun runner out of a Malibu moon mare, so he's not lacking for stamina in any way. I think it's going to be interesting. I would have been very interested to see how he handles the traditional mile and a half distance of the Belmont, but it's like obviously we covered it on our podcast episode 2 or 3 back about how it's going to be at Saratoga for at least the next couple of years, and it has been shortened to accommodate the fact that whatever the orientation was, they just couldn't find a good way to do that. And I certainly would have been interested to see how they would have handled the mile and a half with Sierra Leone, but I think with his running style, because I don't think he's ever really been super close to the lead, and I mean, he's only lost once, and that was a second place in the Remsen. But like I don't think his traditional running style is to sit anywhere near the front. I mean, in the runs and he was last. So
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting for Derby and, quite frankly, the all the races. It's
yeah.
amazing how many we stretch these horses out, and and that, granted, there's always the possibility that you've got some horse that just runs off that first half to 6 furlongs. We see that on occasion, and then they
Especially with the
just
Japanese horses sometimes.
right. But it's also, I mean, it's not a it's, it is so so happens so often that they just take them wire to wire,
Yeah. I think
and so it'll be interesting.
that's the new in style, I think, with the lack of kind of, well, we can't go with him, but I don't want to burn out my horse's chance of at least hitting the board. And then you kind of end up with your wire to wire winners kind of, and it's, obviously Bob gets a lot of flack for it because that's the style he does best, but like a lot of trainers have started employing that. There's a lot of horses that have taken on that style of where it's like if it's freakishly fast, others don't want to burn their horse's chances out. And what you mean in that regard, you can't really blame them. But then you kind of run into the problem of people are taking their horses out of their element. And then it's like it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Like there's no winning, I think, for anybody at that point. So from what we've seen, he's had 4 starts Sierra Leone. He's won 3 times. He's been second once. So whatever about his running style, he gets up there. Even in the slightly shorter races, he gets up there. He does what he needs to. And I mean, and we kind of talk about it, but it's like that. What can you expect from a $2.3 million yearling? Like you're
Correct.
paying for the quality. So I guess is what we're gonna call it. Because I mean, but it is. I mean, we talk about it, but like it sometimes it is rare that these multi-million-dollar horses kind of start not so much repaying the purchase price, but they kind of accurately reflect the talent and the hopes that their connections had for them. So I mean, it's nice that for once it's like expectation is kind of aligning with what the horse can actually do.
Yeah,
And it doesn't hurt that he's a
absolutely.
gun runner, because Gunrunner could go all day.
He's just been just so impressive so far in his stallion, in his stud career. So,
Yeah.
I would say, it's interesting. Muth was impressive again, and I'm seeing all over the internet when I'm breaking away from the coaching search stuff. People all griping and moaning and lawsuits being filed, and again, you kept your horse with that clown, and you're getting what you sowed yourself. So you know what, it's just I don't care. I'm tired of hearing about Bob Baffert and his freaking horses that aren't going to be in the Derby. I don't care. He cheated. He got caught. He's paying the price for it. Right or wrong, he broke the rules. And these owners decided to keep their horses with him, knowing they weren't going to be allowed to run in the Derby. And now they're whining and crying and trying and threatening lawsuits. And they all just need to go straight to hell, quite frankly, because they got what they deserved by keeping their horses with the guy that cheated repeatedly and cheated in the Derby. And I'm so sick of hearing about the whole thing.
All
I'm
right.
sorry, I had to have that little rant. It's just really sent me over the edge this
We'll
weekend.
make a segment. We'll call it Jared's Soapbox. And we'll just let you just grind your gears out for
No,
everybody.
okay. I'm not going to mention it again. I'm not going to, unless they win one of these lawsuits, and some court somewhere decides that a private company can't decide how to run their business. So we'll see.
Yep. But speaking of resilience, so we can kind of roll into maybe another topic. I am actually very happy to see Bill Mott kind of coming in with a, and it's a son of Into Mischief, and I think a lot of people are just kind of used to seeing Into Mischiefs everywhere on the big stage. But he's out of a Smart Strike mare, which is again a very good source of stamina for a lot of horses. And was for a very, very long time. His sire, his sons are very prolific sires. The Wood Memorial winner, and you know, we do need to make a note that, you know, the horse did go down in the Stretch in the Wood Memorial, and the horse got up from what the reports I've been reading then and are saying. The horse got up on his own power. He walked onto the equine ambulance on his own power. And Uriah St. Louis, who I believe is the owner and the trainer, had let folks know that his horse stayed overnight at the Ruffian Medical Center. They checked him out. They scanned him head to toe. They did just about every test they could. And aside from being body sore, he is okay. He is fine. So he's gonna go home, and his name is Deposition. And Deposition is gonna go home, and I imagine they're probably gonna take a nice good time off to kind of let him recover from this. But thankfully, that's the absolute best outcome we could hope for. And the jockey, from what I saw, Dexter Haddock, he also walked to the medical center under his own power, and he went and got checked out. And as far as we're reading, everybody's fine. So that's I think in those kinds of situations, that's just the absolute best we can hope for. And I'm very, very grateful that's how this ended up turning out. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That's you just hate to see you hate to see it, whether they're,
Yeah.
certainly if they get hurt, but even if they don't get hurt, you just hate to see a bad step take a horse out of a race like that, or any race, quite frankly.
Yeah, 'cause he was motoring along. He was mid pack. He was in contention in the stretch. So he was trucking along. But definitely, I'm very happy to see that everybody is okay. That for sure. That's really good to hear, and it does you some good to sometimes just have some good news after something like that. So.
Absolutely. So, yeah, speaking of Smart Strike, and resilience. I mean, Smart Strike daughters produced Mind That Bird and Rich Strike.
Yeah.
Smart Strike himself, Curlin, English Channel, looking at Lucky. I mean, man,
And
it's
looking at
just
Lucky has had a
incredible.
resurgence this year too, interestingly enough. Like there's a surprising number of looking at Luckies that are suddenly just jumping out of there and winning stakes races and graded races, and I think even a group race. So I'm like, where are you guys coming from? Like, where have you been the last several years?
The breeding market is so strange. When folks are breeding commercially, I think Mark's talked a little bit about this, that they want these young, sexy sires. They're just coming off the track, or they want the Into Mischiefs and the Curlins and the Gunrunners. That's where you're, that are all commanding, six figure stud
Uncle,
fees.
well, Uncle Mo for I think
Uncle Mo,
200 or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are the commercial stallions that are out there. And looking lucky, I think he used to stand, I think he started out from maybe 30,000 or something like
Yeah,
that.
I vaguely
And
remember that.
he was really hot coming off the track. And then he didn't catch fire right away. And if you don't catch fire right away, and meaning that if you don't have black type graded stakes winners right, really
Yeah,
soon,
your first crop
you
at
just
least.
yeah you fall by the wayside. Exaggerator is a prime example. His first crop of runners won more races, just in terms of
Yeah.
quantity, than any other
Yeah.
in his class. But they weren't the big races, and now
Yeah.
he's standing in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Looking at Lucky, kind of started becoming one of those, those midshipman types, the
Yep.
broken bow types that, every now and then, sure, they get you a big dollar horse at the sale, but
Yeah.
primarily, these were the folks that were breeding. They're breeding to race, not
Yeah.
necessarily breeding commercially,
Yeah.
not necessarily breeding to sell. And I think that's the path that you're seeing looking at Lucky on now. He kind of had those lulls, but people realize that he could still get you. May not get you tons of graded stakes runners, but he's still getting good solid race horses.
Yeah.
And I think so. You're seeing a lot more people send decent mares to him, with the intention of, maybe they'll sell them, maybe they won't, maybe they'll just race them. But it's much more of an end user
Yeah.
sire that's being chosen than something that's being bred to go to the sales.
Well, and I know looking at Lucky as kind of was the case for Scat Daddy as well. When they sent him to South America, they performed phenomenally well in South America. Like again, and we're talking about it within a closed market. Like we're not commenting on, South America compared to North American racing. Like just for South America in their own ecosystem, their racing ecosystem, he performed phenomenally well. Like he has. I mean, I don't quite remember how many South American champions he has, but he performed phenomenally well. So, he was a staple down there for a long time. And I think it's nice that the folks up here in the North American markets where they are, it is a bit more cutthroat up here. It is very competitive here. I'm very, it's nice that so many people saw that, okay, he's getting these results in South America. The South American breeders are supporting him very eagerly. Maybe we can do the same and let's see what we get. And it's like, and right now, racing is competitive, it's very competitive in North America. It's hard to get race, your horses into races sometimes. It's hard to get certain conditions filled because everyone is pushing for the same sets of conditions. So it's like, it's nice that people are kind of waking up to the realization. It's like we're probably better off breeding to race, especially if we can't send our mares to these 250, 200, 200, phenomenally expensive stallions. And they're expensive for a reason. We're not here to talk down on the price. Like they're priced the way they are for a reason, but it's kind of like there aren't just six trainers in the entire country. It's like there's not just six stallions in the entire country who can get you a good horse. So, I'm just happy. So I
Or any
was,
more than six horses in the entire world, the way they're shuttling them around everywhere.
I know,
But
but it's I'm
that's a whole
just
different topic.
I know. We can talk of, oh, it's like More Than Ready in Australia was like super sire extraordinaire, and when they announced that they were like pensioning him and he wouldn't be going back down there, it was like a national day of mourning in Australia. Like, he's a huge deal. He's down there in almost every talented runner that they have down there. Like More Than Ready is all over the place in Australia. So,
Man, he was great. He was a great, great, great stallion.
yeah, he was a remarkable old man. Well, and it's like it's interesting. Like for Justify, I don't think anybody saw Justify having two European champions on the grass. Oh, like
Well,
that's interesting.
I mean, Scat Daddy, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, and that was. I think that's kind of the thing that people ran into with American Pharoah was like, they sent so many turf horses to him, and then later on, all of his best offspring in the beginning were turf horses. It's like, well, I mean, but it's like you had Empire Maker in there, and it's the generation skip. I think people sometimes like, yeah, I'm not saying, look all the way back six generations because that's, that impact isn't that pressing in the immediate term, but it's like, and it's something we talked about with Mark yesterday when he was talking to Andy. The generation skip is a thing. Like they pop up sometimes. Not, I don't know, not I'm not saying from six generations back, but like it's not unusual to have something from the second or third generation pop up and it skipped the dam or something, So
Right.
that's it's fascinating to me because that seems to be the case with American Pharoah when he gets turf mares. Like he can throw a good turf horse and he frequently does. He throws turf and dirt horses, and I love a utility sire. Like I'm such a I'm like if we could ever send if we ever got the good fortune of having money to send to American Pharoah, like I would just be over the
Oh, if yes, of course.
moon.
But no, you mentioned Empire Maker. He's a perfect example of a stallion that after the first couple seasons, they just gave up on him and they sent him off to Japan
Yeah.
and basically gave him away. And
Kudos to Japan for being
just
smart.
a, you know, and several years later, they had to pay through the nose to bring him
Yeah.
back. As you've heard us say so many times, and so many other aspects of this sport, patience.
Yeah.
You've got to have patience. It doesn't always pay off, but more time typically is going to help more often than not.
Yeah. And it's well, and it's like and to kind of wrap it back to the which I guess our Triple Crown coverage became Pedigree Hour. So not the worst thing it could have became. We almost went into angry Jared soapbox moment.
No, but I just had to get off my chest.
Yep. By all means, if it helps you feel better before open house, then we will do it. But seriously, like, I mean, it is the lawsuits and it keeps coming back and it keeps coming back and it keeps coming back, and it's like it starts to feel like deja vu, and you're just like, okay. But yeah. But that's Pedigree Hour with Jared and Patty.
And I got to get out to the racetrack, so we're gonna probably wrap it up here. And I think next week we'll know whether or not the Lexington has produced another Derby runner, and we'll kind of recap some open house stuff. And I'm sure we'll have a lot, and then we'll start getting into a much deeper analysis, or a much deeper look at the horses that have qualified for the Derby. The ones that we expect to be there, and the ones that we expect, there's already been some that I think aren't going to make it due to, they're off the Derby trail for this or that. So, we'll get a little more look at, into what the Derby field is likely to look like, and then we'll just keep on talking. We'll keep on talking Derby through the Derby, and then we're going to get back into having some more guests. Some of the folks that we're trying to get, not necessarily individuals, but we want to talk to some racing secretaries. We've had a lot of questions about that, and how races get carded, and who look, why they choose this race over that race, and that sort of thing. Race callers, I'm just fascinated by all of them. I don't know how they keep track of everything that they're doing, especially when you got 10, 12 horses or more in the field. And so if there's any other types of racing officials that you'd like to hear from and get to know more about what they do behind the scenes, for their jobs, and just to get to know a little bit more about what's going on with racing and the business of racing, let us know, and we'll try to get some in here. Stakes coordinator, well, we might look at try to do something with the stakes coordinator, because man, those guys or those folks, their jobs are tough, rounding up and trying to develop quality stakes fields. So that's some of the things we've got on tap after the Derby.
Yeah, absolutely. We might swing a little bit into the Oaks, because we would be remiss to not
Oh, absolutely.
mention the ladies.
That's
So
of course.
we'll try and cover as much ground as we can without having this turn into an absolute marathon. So
Right.
it'll be some planning on my part, but we've got an exciting couple weeks, several, well, not even a couple, several weeks coming up. And just to reiterate what Jared said, we're looking forward to seeing everybody at Open House this Saturday. And to remember that, we are going to be live streaming on Facebook. We're going to be live streaming for our partners on the app. So if you can't make it, you will be able to see that. So make sure that you are subscribed to all of our social media channels. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're under Pocket Aces Racing. We're going to save these live streams as well, and we will get them posted onto our YouTube channel, which is also under Pocket Aces Racing. So you will be able to see, like, if you need to step out for any reason during the live streams, you will be able to see a full replay of that live stream. We'll try and make sure that kind of as it goes along, we can kind of get as close as we can to Mark and make sure that we have as much information in there as we can, because I know a couple people had mentioned that they couldn't hear a little bit during the live stream, so we're going to be fine-tuning that. We'll make sure that the coverage is a lot better this year. So
Yeah, especially hopefully it won't be too windy, because I know we've especially had trouble when it's windy out there. It just makes a mess of the microphone. So
But we'll work it out. That's a technical thing on my end, and but we're looking forward to seeing everybody on Saturday. And thank you everybody for tuning in this week. And as I tell everybody, have a happy Wednesday. Have a good Wednesday. Make good choices. The podcast is out.